Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing on this Wednesday night, by the grace of God, three prayers for a persecuted church. Three prayers, if you will, by Paul and his ministry team for a persecuted church. Part 4, Praying Through the Bible, number 360. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. There's nothing like being in a place where the people truly love you and you truly love them back, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. For which ye also suffer. We don't talk about that much today in our Christianity, because our so-called Christianity is so far removed from pure, true Christianity of 2,000 years ago. For which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You do not have to worry about a thing. Those who cause you trouble while you're serving God, they will reap what they sow. Stop trying to make them reap it from you. Stop getting angry, stop getting bitter, stop getting resentful at how people are treating you while you stand for Christ. God will take care of them. God said, made it very clear, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And to you who are troubled, have you ever gotten to the point in your Christian life, have you gotten to the point where you thank God for your trouble, your tribulations, your enemies, the Judases in your life? When you get there, you have not arrived yet, but you're almost there. When you get to that point, when you're thankful for the troubles that you have, the tribulations that you have, the enemies inside your family and outside of your family, inside the church and outside of the church, your persecutors, when you start thanking God for them and praying for them with a heart that's not bitter, you're getting somewhere in Jesus. But don't you worry about them. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, be at peace with us, calm down, chill out, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. The other day, I think in the Congo, this British lady was down there doing a documentary or something for some reason. And she was with a tribe, and they evidently had a beef with one of the other tribes, and they were getting ready to take them into the woods and kill them. And the white lady said, well, she got concerned and said, she said, chill. Y'all need to chill out. I don't know if they knew what she was talking about, but that's what she said. She said, y'all need to chill out. She had a little cuss word with it, but she said, y'all need to chill out. And she's held as a hero for stepping into that situation. And that person did not die that day. And what Paul is saying to those of us who are troubled, come and rest with us. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Have peace. Chill out. Don't worry about it. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to really happen one day. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. We praise you and we thank you for allowing us to see another Wednesday for this particular series, number 360. And Lord, if you brought us through 360 Wednesday nights in this series, surely, Lord, we can have the confidence and the faith in you that you will bring us through this one. No matter how much the devil is fighting, no matter how much the devil's cohorts are fighting against us, and the enemies and the Sanballats and the Judases. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that according to your word, their day is coming. So Lord, help us to rest with you and help us to walk in peace and in joy, with our confidence and our faith in you, praying without ceasing. We come before your throne of grace, and Lord, I know it may sound trite to some, and some it may sound trivial, but it is absolutely necessary for us as Christians to acknowledge our sinfulness and our sins before you. And Lord, we individually, collectively confess our sins, our faults and failures unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us and cleanse us. For Lord, we know that we cannot be used by you, and we cannot be heard by you, and we cannot receive anything from you with sin in our lives. And I know that people have different ideas about that, but Lord, I know that that is true. And so, Lord, wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and consciences, not just the preacher, but everybody, Lord, so that the power of your Holy Spirit can flow and move and work in the hearts and minds of lives here and out there, scattered all over the world. And Lord, we pray that, and we thank you for all of those who gather around on 6 to 7 different live outlets, and I'm told we have 13 platforms all around the world, and we thank you, Lord, for all of that. And we thank you for these people, their wonderful comments, their amens, all of their hearts and stars that go up. in an attempt to encourage us to keep on keeping on, and we thank you for them and how they invite others. And so, Lord, we know that your holy word, as it goes out, never comes back void, never comes back empty. And Lord, we can't wait to see the fruit of it all in glory as you wisely hide some things from us because we would get the big head. And so we give you the glory, the praise, and honor. And we will be sure to cast all crowns at your feet, for you deserve everything because you did it. And we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Empty us of ourselves, crucify our flesh afresh and anew, fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and take control and take over as you have done in the past. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the devil is working, and he wants to do everything he can to try to hinder this message from getting out. So, Lord, I pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness that would try to hinder your holy word from going forward, your holy gospel from being preached. Lord, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and every enemy of the cross. We pray for the salvation for over 3 million souls, 3 million Christians to be revived. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to provide everything we need to spread the gospel far and wide across this country and around the globe by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Encourage your people. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a rather long series on prayer, a rather long series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and every verse regarding prayer in the Bible. There's a whole lot of verses and passages on prayer in the Bible. So that ought to tell us that God wants us to pray. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray, to challenge you to pray, to have faith in God, and yes, if you will, even to motivate you to pray. To pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To pray to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To pray to the God of the Holy Bible. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivated Devotional Bible. And we want you to pray in faith, believing in God and in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So far, by the grace of God, we have completed 359 Wednesday night messages in this series. This is message number 360, titled Three Prayers for a Persecuted Church, Part 4. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, now gone home with the Lord, died this year, said character must lead to conduct. Paul prayed that they might have a resolute will, empowered by God to do what he wanted them to do. Obedience and service do not spring from human talent and efforts, but from God's power, from God's power, from God's power through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit as we trust in him. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, in this letter and this epistle to the persecuted Thessalonian believers. Paul says that he and his co-workers in the ministry are praying for them in three specific ways. Paul was a praying man. He was a smart man. He was an educated man. But he was a praying man, which made him very effective. First, they are praying that they would be counted worthy of their calling as believers. It is a fitting prayer for those who are truly enduring persecution, as the Bible says, that is, through much tribulation, that we will enter the kingdom of God. And that's why I tell you folks, you need to count it an honor, you need to count it a privilege when you are persecuted for Christ. When you are standing alone sometimes for Christ, and the devil is pulling, you must understand the main persecutor, the one behind the scenes moving all of the other puppet persecutors, is Satan, the devil. He's your persecutor. You need to understand that. And he's doing everything he can to stop you from doing what you have purposed in your heart to do for God and for the glory of God and for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants that stopped. Now you hear me, and you hear me well. Anything you're doing to get the gospel out, anything you're doing regarding prayer to help speed the gospel out there, you can mark it down. The devil is going to do everything he can to stop you. There's two things I know for sure that the devil hates. He hates praying Christians or Christians who pray. He actually hates the prayer part because it connects you to the power of God. And he hates witnessing, preaching the gospel. He wants that stopped. Now you need to understand that. And he's the main one persecuting you. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Now he will use family members. He will use church members. He will use your next door neighbor. He will block finances. He'll do everything he can to hinder you from getting the gospel out. And you need to be ready for that. And you need to count it a privilege and a blessing and an honor. And you ought to be thankful that you're counted worthy to be persecuted by the devil and his cohorts. Understanding that you're doing this for the glory of God and for the lifting up of Jesus Christ and for the spreading of the gospel. The second prayer that Paul prays for the persecuted church is that God would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. The Greek phrase translated, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, literally means to complete every good thing, every good desire for the glory of God. Paul's prayer extends to the human conduct of these believers. It is his desire that they be granted the power to do all the good that they intend to do. When I was over in England visiting the old church that John Wesley's father was a part of and pastored there for a little while before they got rid of him, they had a little card there, you know, little souvenirs And it talked about doing all the good you can by John Wesley. And I'm going to share that with you in a few minutes, but you have to be born again to start talking like that, being interested in doing all the good you can to help as many people as you can, while you can, for the glory of God. You need to be born again. You need the power of God to think like that and to do what you ought to do, to have all of that to come to pass. Thank God for all of the born-again ones that God has used down through the years. And God put ideas in their minds on how to help people. Have you ever gotten any help from some godly Christians in your life? Isn't it wonderful how they did it? They were ready. They counted it a joy to help you, to be a blessing to you. They were ready, Freddy, and ready, Betty. They knew exactly what to do. Thank God for the old mothers in the church and the old deacons in the church who they've already experienced death in the family. And they're on the, if you will, funeral committee. They know what you're going through, because they've been through it. They know exactly what to do. They got it down pat. You don't feel all the down pat stuff. They have a system. You don't feel the system. You feel the love. And they help you to get from point one, point two, to point two, to point three. And they'll walk you right on through it with a smile, a loving smile. They feel your pain, and they will tell you those golden words, it's going to be all right. Listen to me. This is what they say. This is what they say to you. They know how to say it, honey, baby, it's going to be all right. God's going to see you through it, Danae. God's going to see you through it. And we're going to be right here with you. Thank God for the local church. Thank God for God's people in the local church who know how to get it done. Those on the so-called hospital committee, visitation. You've never been in the hospital, but they have. They know their way around that hospital very, very well. And they love on you so well, you don't even want to see the pastor. It doesn't matter to you if the pastor comes or not, because these folks know how to do it. They understand the ministry of presence. The pastor may not be able to give that to you because he's got so many other things to do, but there are some folks in the local church who understand the ministry of presence, where they can sit with you for 8 hours while you're asleep in the bed, not knowing what's going on, under drugs and everything else. They'll protect you from rough nurses. Those nurses, you know, those nurses who act like it's their job to torment you while you're in the hospital. I thought I was here to get some rest. Those nurses who come in and wake you up out of the sleep that they're getting ready to put you back into with some drugs. Don't you hate it when folks be shaking your leg, waking you up? Oh no. Man, I was already in heaven. What are you doing? Yeah, I'm waking you up so you can eat and take your medication so you can go back to sleep. What? Leave me alone. Big Mom and them, there's a hold up now, sister. Hold up, nurse. The ministry of presence. You don't know how many times the big mamas in the church have stopped those nurses coming in there. So wait a minute now. Let her sleep. Come back. come back in a couple of hours. Thank God for those who know how to get it done, because they went through it themselves. Anyway, regarding this passage of doing good to others, talking about doing good and having the power of God to do good, you need strength from God to do good. Big Mom and them, they make it look easy, but it's not easy. Your pastor makes it look easy, but it's not easy. God gives them the strength, because they're going through hell back at the house themselves. They're dealing with stuff themselves more than you are, but they are coming by to help you. And never think that those who are helping you and serving you are not going through themselves. Don't think like that. It's God working through them. God working through them. I'm reminded of the little story. There was a bombing back, I think, in World War II on a church. And everything was destroyed, but an image of Jesus up front. Only his hands were cut off. It must have been a Catholic church or something like that. And so when they were rebuilding, they said, "We need to put the hands of Jesus back on there, up there." The woman said, no, don't do that. Leave it like it is. We are the hands of Jesus. We need to go and do what Jesus has commanded us to do. And by the way, it's not always the big time evangelist and the big time pastor. Now they're called communicators, whatever that is. It's not about them. It's about all of those other gifts that God has given to the church that makes the church what the church ought to be. People see me, but there are many other people behind the scenes who make all of this happen. We get messages. We got messages yesterday, comments yesterday about the message, and praise the Lord, I love this preaching. Thank God for you, brother. So, but this is more than me that makes this happen, by the grace of God. And we thank God for those people who can be behind the scenes and don't mind being behind the scenes, don't want to be in front of the scenes. They're content serving the Lord behind the scenes, and they get the job done. My baby son, my youngest son, I don't know how he does it, but he puts up the podcast and the video now for the whole world to see. And others serve in different capacities. That's Daniel Ezekiel. Anyway, the Bible Knowledge Commentary states this second request was that God would bring to full expression every good purpose of theirs to glorify God, and every act motivated by their faith in God. Both motives and actions have their source in God. Thus they are accomplished by His power for His glory. Amen, somebody. They are accomplished by His power for His glory. By the way, make sure you get your motives from God, your motivation from God. Why are you doing what you're doing? If you get your motivation from yourself, from your flesh, you're trying to impress somebody in the church house, not remembering that you're in God's house, and it's not about you, it's about Him, then you got the wrong motivation. Sit down. Make sure your motivation comes from God. And by the way, if your motivation comes from God, and your actions come from God, and God is the one doing it in you, then you'll be faithful at doing it. Amen, somebody. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. You'll be faithful at doing it. You will endure until the end. You will not quit. If God motivated you to do it, if God helped you to do it and get the action done, and it's for His glory, His praise, and His honor, then you will continue to the end. You will endure until the end. You will be like a good soldier. Harden yourself like a good soldier. You'll keep on fighting on even when you feel weak and tired. You will get the job done for the glory of God. Thank God for those who are motivated by God. Thank God for those who are gifted by God. Thank God for those who get the job done for the glory of God every day. Most Bible-based churches will not fall because the pastor falls. You know why? Because it's those faithful men and women that nobody knows that keeps the church going. They love Jesus. They love God. They're motivated by God. They are filled with God's Spirit. They have been gifted by God. And it doesn't matter if the pastor falls or the leader falls or fails or messes up or dies. They keep on rolling on, doing what God called them to do. And they get great joy out of doing it, even though it is difficult sometimes. Everybody at some point has intended to do good. The Christian believer ought to intend to do good far more than the unbeliever, because he or she is living by God's standard of good, which is perfection, and not the world's standard. But have you ever fully intended to do good, yet found it a struggle to do so? Then you understand why Paul was praying that the Thessalonians would receive God's power in order to carry out the good that they determined to do. The fact is, beloved, we need God's power to do good. We need His grace. We need His might to do good, in the kind of good that is lasting, with fruit that remains. We will never do all the good that we determine to do by merely doing it with human efforts, doing it in the flesh. How many people you know are spinning their wheels, to use a term that Dr. Charles McKinney used so many years ago? Spinning their wheels. Spinning their wheels, doing a whole lot of stuff with no fruit. That's not permanent, that will not last. Wood, hay, and stubble. So we must ask God for help. Like Paul, we must pray to God, not only for others, but for ourselves, to do good for the glory of God, and to love one another. You need to pray and ask God to help you to love others. Because what makes others ugly to you is the sin in them. How many of you know a beautiful woman, but she's ugly because you got to know her? And you heard what came out of her, and you sensed the evil in her attitude and in her spirit. She's ugly to you. She's beautiful on paper, if you will. But in reality, she's not beautiful. She's ugly. How many of you women have met a man who looks handsome on the outside, but he's ugly on the inside? That's why you need God's grace to love people. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to love people, man. And let that love, wait a minute. Let that love begin at home with your own family. We have millions of folks who are run away from their own family, thinking that they can find love someplace else, and thinking that they can love somebody else, and find out they jumped out of the frying pan into the fire itself. Some of you will not understand that if you have electric stoves, but you understand what I'm saying. And even when we have done that, it may seem that no help or less help than we desire is being given. We must ask again and keep on asking, and then press forward in faith and prayer, relying on the grace of God and the power of God to do the right thing, no matter how we feel, no matter what we think, no matter if our energy at the time might be low. We need to do the right thing. Each of us ought to pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ receive power from God to do the good that they desire to do for the glory of God, for the lifting up of Jesus Christ. Just this morning, we intended to pass out some gospel tracts. Somehow got turned around there, and my baby daughter reminded us via text, and I didn't see it, and somehow got turned around there talking about this or that, and went all the way back home and did not pass out the gospel tracts. But we are going out this evening to do it by the grace of God. So sometimes we intend to do good and we don't. Maybe if we had been praying more at the time, we would have done it. Have you noticed that when you're praying without ceasing, God will remind you of things? He'll just pull it out of the woods and remind you that you ought to do this and that and the other. So, and instead of trying to do good in our own strength, beloved, we ought to pray for God's strength to do good for His glory, praise, and honor. And I told you, I promise you, that I would tell you what John Wesley said a long time ago. I have the card somewhere in my belongings. It's a little card I bought, a little souvenir I bought over in England when I went to visit John Wesley's, the family church. John Wesley wrote, "Do all the good you can in all the ways you can." And John Wesley said, "Do all the good you can by all the means you can in all the ways you can in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Allow me to repeat that. John Wesley said these words a long time ago over in England, and he wrote them down. But I must remind you that this takes a Christian to think this way and a Christian to fulfill this. He said, "Do all the good you can by all the means you can in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Please remember that as you age. Do what you can right now while you're young. One of the greatest things I thank God for in my life is that He saved me from the pits of hell and from a hellacious life at the age of 19. And so at the tender age of 58, if you will, I've already spent 40 years of my life serving God. I feel age coming on. I feel the body changing. And I thank God that I spent my youth serving God. He gave me that privilege. I didn't try to do this. He gave me that blessing to spend my youth serving Him. And I want to encourage all of you young people, the greatest thing you'll ever do, no matter how tough it is, and no matter how tough it'll be, is to give your youth to God and to Christ. Do it while you can. Do the good you can. I thank God I traveled and preached around the world while I was young. And even while I was young, it was tough. These people who like to wait till they're 65 to go traveling around the world, to me is just, to me that is so backwards, because traveling is very difficult. It's not fun and games. And I thank God I traveled around the world and preached the gospel when I was young. And now my daughters, my oldest two daughters, are doing the same thing while they're young. And I told them to do that. Travel while you're young. See the world while you're young. More importantly, serve God. I didn't go to see the world. I went and preached. But they're not called to preach. But they go around the world as young ladies to share the gospel with those who are lost in their 20s. Fully college educated with multiple degrees. And they're spending their lives, yes, working, but every year they go to the mission field. They're doing what their father did, and they're doing what their father told them to do. Travel while you're young. Serve God while you're young. Traveling is not for old people. I'm sorry, dear friends, it's not. It's not. And I guarantee you, anybody will tell you that. So while you can do good, do it. There are things I used to do I can't do anymore. I can't stay up all night and burn the midnight oil like we used to do back in those days. Sending out gospel materials and so forth. Man, just loved it. So do the good you can while you can. That's what John Wesley pointed out in the end. While you can. At the end of that little statement, he said, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you all for all of the saints that have come before us, who did what they could by your grace, and leaving us little nuggets like this, first from Paul and then from your servant John Wesley. Lord, help us by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to do all the good we can while we can. Because even though many of us do not feel as though we will die one day, we will if we keep on living. And Lord, have mercy and grace upon us all as Christians who have wasted so much time serving ourselves instead of serving you and others. Lord, help us to confess it as sin. Help us to repent. Help us to turn from our evil ways. Help us to get back to you, our first love, and do all the good we can for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin, always. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. Our bodies will one day go to a grave. Our soul will go to hell if we have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Or it will go to heaven if we have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I want you to know that Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a terrible place. The Bible describes hell as a place of darkness, a place of torment, a place of weeping and wailing, gnashing at the teeth, a place of an agonizing memory you will remember very, very vividly every chance you had to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. In the passage that I preached from tonight, it talked about those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be tormented. Hell is bad news, dear friend, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. These are all good things to do after you get saved. Right now, tonight, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For the Bible is very clear in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to get saved tonight? Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save you, and I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.